الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So I was talking in the last few weeks on this theme of the trip to Umrah that many of us had taken almost now a few months back. It's becoming a distant memory more than a month ago, and I've been sharing some of the themes that sort of centered around that trip, and I've touched on some of these points before, but there's one point that came to mind concerning the trip today that I wanted to share, because it's such an important point for us as we try to succeed in both the life of this world and in the hereafter. One of the things that I told you about the trip was what amazed me is how quickly people are ready to make the journey for Umrah and Hajj. You know that if you think about any message or any advertisement that people try to create, those advertisements require a huge amount of effort and are usually very, very limited in the audience that they reach. For example, I mean, all of us today could get together and we could say that, you know, for the masjid, we want to create a new brand of toothpaste. And our intention is going to be that we're going to make a new brand of toothpaste, and we're going to sell it, and whatever profit we make from that toothpaste, we're going to donate it to the masjid so that the masjid can function without having to depend on asking for any donations. Then we would say, if you want to get your toothpaste out into the market, you have to advertise it. So what would you do? You would begin to, you know, create a name, create a logo. You would create a beautiful package, create beautiful packaging, and then you'd begin to advertise it. You would send out mailings to the public, maybe announce it in the masjids, maybe even have a booth at some major Islamic convention. Whatever it might be, you would begin to announce it. And as you begin to announce this toothpaste, there would only be a limited audience that you would hit. You'd be lucky if you could inform the people of Chicago about your toothpaste. Forget about the people of Chicago. You'd be lucky if you could inform the people of, what is this area? Budlong Woods. You'd be lucky if you could inform the people of Budlong Woods, just these few blocks around us, about the toothpaste. If you got beyond that and you inform the people of the North Side, that would be a big deal. If you could inform people of Chicago, that would be a big deal. If all the people in Illinois knew, that would be a big deal. You know, if all the people in the United States knew, that would be a big deal. But you would never expect that the people in Africa would know about your toothpaste, right? That's almost an impossibility. And if somebody sat here in the meeting and said, we're going to sell this toothpaste in Africa, you would say, this guy's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. There's no way this message is going to reach Africa. Africa has so many languages and so many different socioeconomic situations, and they just don't relate to us. They're not going to use the same toothpaste as us, etc. So when there's a product and you want to advertise that product, it always has a limited audience. It's very hard to get beyond the threshold of a limited audience. Now, that's the limited audience in any given period of time. But then, to perpetuate that message for a long period of time would also be difficult. For example, if you went back we're in 2012. If you went back to 1912, all of the products that are popular today, they didn't exist back then. You know, why don't we say it this way? Whatever was popular in 1912 is not popular in 2012. There are many major brands and major companies and major movements that were, you know, the theme of the day. It was the latest and greatest cutting edge product, and it doesn't even exist today anymore. For a product to last 50 years is a big deal. For a product to last 100 years is a big deal. I highly doubt there's some product that was being used in 1812 that is just as popular in 2012. So there's two facets to extending the word about this product, right? The one is to create the ability to be able to generate the word within space. And another one is to generate the word across time. So there's two vectors. There's this whole concept of space, and there's this whole concept of time. And it's very hard to have an advertisement perpetuate through time and through space. And this doesn't only exist for advertisements. It exists for any major idea. For example, if you go back in history, you know, you look at communism has a rise and has a fall. Okay. The Greeks had a rise and had a fall. All right. Constantinople had a rise and had a fall. So these things are also limited in both their sphere and in their time. Every empire had a rise and had a fall. And of course, the empires reached a certain space, and then they also had a limited time. One of the amazing things, however, about Hajj and Umrah is that despite the fact that Hajj and Umrah were originated at the time of even before, but let's say rejuvenated at the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, their message reverberates across space and through time just as loudly, and in fact maybe even amplified compared to when it was first made. That is amazing. That to me is just amazing if you sit down and think about it, because you can go in the village of Africa that has no TV, no internet, and if you ask them about Hajj, they know about it. And they want to go for Hajj. And at the time of Hajj, they're talking about going for Hajj. That's amazing that this message that, you know, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, this invitation, why don't we say? I mean, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he built the house, right? With Ismail alayhi salam. And then they made an invitation. They called people. And it comes in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, and announce within the people the Hajj. Now, who is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam announcing to? What do you think? He had the millions and millions of people standing around him? He had just his family and a handful of followers around him. And he's making this announcement, Allah has commanded Hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran after asking him to make this command, that when you make this command, people will come to you walking, and people will come to you riding, and people will come to you from distance. Now, it's amazing that some announcement could be made, and that announcement would reverberate through the metaphysics of time and space, such that even today, and even in the depths of Africa, there are people that would like to go for Hajj and Umrah. And it's such a common theme. And like I said, maybe in one of the earlier talks, when you get there, it's plane after bus after plane after bus of people coming from all over the world constantly. Here comes the Turkish group. Here comes the Malaysian group. Here comes a group from Singapore. Here comes a group from Chicago. Here comes a group from Nigeria. People are coming. There's no end. There's no end to the flow of people. There is no time. You know, you go to the hotel front desk and you say, what's the slow time? What time can I come when nobody's here? What are you talking about? We're always at 80% occupancy. It's a question of 80 or 100%. There's no 5 or 10% occupancy in February. That place is constantly people coming in and out, in and out, in and out. And nobody is announcing it. There is no central authority reminding people that you should go for Umrah and you should go for Hajj. That announcement was made thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago, and is reverberating through the hearts of people across time and space. Now, why is that important? Why is that such a powerful aspect of this journey? Because in that, we learn how we can be successful in what we aim to do. For example, I cannot tell you the number of parents that come to me and say, I talk to my son, he doesn't listen. No, he doesn't hear. I'm talking to my son, he cannot hear what I'm saying. Meaning, it doesn't go through his thick skull, what I'm saying. I want him to work hard and do well in school. He doesn't hear. Parents will sit in front of me and say, this guy does not hear what I'm saying. He has ears, he has a mind, he just does not hear what I'm saying. Parent sitting in front of their child
cannot deliver a message that the child can hear. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, thousands of years ago, is delivering a message that the world is still listening to. Just think about it for a second. How many times has a wife said, I tell this man 20 times, I've been married for 20 years, he still doesn't listen to me. How many spouses are saying that? Husbands about wife and wife about husband? And this Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling, and women are selling their jewelry and their pots and pans to send their husbands for Hajj. Like I gave the story last week if you were here. People are selling their jewelry and their pots and pans without the husband even saying anything based on what Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam invited thousands of years ago. So, you know, we have a deep desire. I cannot tell you the number of people that come to me and say, I try to say this to my spouse, they don't hear. Or I try to say this to my kids, they don't hear. I try to explain this to my cousins, they don't hear. I'm trying to share the deen with my neighbors, they don't hear. I'm trying to share the deen with my loved ones, they don't hear. I'm trying to share the deen with my co-workers, they don't hear. The problem is not that they don't hear. The problem is that we don't speak. Meaning, we're speaking unholy, we're not speaking the spiritual language. We're not taking advantage of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reverberating the message from our tongue. We're speaking from ourselves. Now, then you ask the question, so what? What is it? What is it that makes somebody's voice heard in that special way? And the answer is very clear. When a person attaches themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they attain a special state in which their voice perpetuates and affects the hearts in a very different way than the average human being. The more we make ourselves pious, the higher degree of piety that we attain, and the more we purify ourselves, and the more our tongues begin to be used properly, and the words then have particular value, the more likely we are to effectuate change in those around us. Now, look, I'm not going to be here for the rest of my kids' lives. Right? Sometimes I look at my kids and I say that, you know, today they make a mistake, and I'm here, and I say, look, that was not a good idea. But one day I'm not going to be there. And there will be times when my children will be someplace and I would want to say something to them if I was standing there, but I won't be there. Just like sometimes we're doing things that we shouldn't do and it would be best if our parents or some loved one was there to tell us not to do it, but we make a mistake, right? I will not always be there for my children. And so you sometimes worry. You say, what will happen to my children? Who will advise them if I'm not there? Well, the point is that if I focus on my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put that message in their heart and will allow them to hear from some place in some way that which was going to be best for them. So we have to develop that connection with Allah. Convincing your spouse or your children or your grandchildren or sometimes the generations that you haven't even yet met is going to come through that sincerity, through that piety, through that sacrifice, through that complete devotion to Allah and Allah alone. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, and all of the prophets had their message reverberate through time and space because they were sincere. They were true servants of Allah. They were not these half-hearted people like us who we follow what we want and then we take a break and we do the things that we shouldn't be doing and we assume it's not a big deal. And they were completely 1000% absolutely devoted to Allah in every aspect of their life. And because they were like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed their message to reverberate through time and space. So that Musa alayhi salam's message is alive and vibrant and kicking today. You know, in some way, shape, or form. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's message is alive and vibrant and kicking today. The Prophet alayhi salam's message is alive and vibrant and kicking today. And we're reading his hadith and we get affected from two lines. Sometimes you read the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, I mean, you sit in a lecture for an hour and it has a minimal effect. You pick up a hadith, it's two words, three words, five words, and it changes your whole week. There's a power. There's a power in that tongue. But that power is generated through sincerity. There's a very famous, and I don't know the exact quote, and so I'm going to misquote this, but I'll give you a rough idea. There was a very famous scholar. There was a sheikh, a very, 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 very pious sheikh in our history, who had many students. And he used to come and he used to sit in front of his students and he used to talk. And when he used to talk, his words used to have a major effect on them. It would change their lives. And beyond that, it would affect them emotionally also, because, you know, spiritually they would be uplifted by his words. So one day he was not able to speak, and his son, his son was also a student of the deen, and his son happened to be returning from his studies, and so he assigned his son that you speak to the people. So the son prepared a very eloquent speech, you know, thought about all the points and thought about how he was going to interconnect them and made it very, very eloquent and very, you know, just a unique way of presenting some aspect of the deen. So when he came in front of all the people, he began to speak and he gave this eloquent speech and this amazing elucidation of deen, and the people were impressed. And so he gave his talk and he completed. And while he gave his talk, right after he completed his talk, then his father showed up, you know, and came and sat down. And when his father came and sat down, he said something like two words, you know, I left the milk out and the cat drank it. Something funny like that. You know, I left the milk out and the cat came and drank it. And everybody started crying. And the son recognized from that that the power in words doesn't lie in the eloquence and the intellect, but the power in the words lies in the heart. Because this sheikh was speaking from his heart, and he could have said anything. I mean, he could say that, you know, this is the way you make a cake. And the people would be affected by it because his heart was just so, there was so much tawajjuh, there was so much faiz coming from the sheikh's heart. In fact, it's not even about speech. It's much more about the heart. Hazrat Ghulam Habib, rahmatullah alayh, Sheikh Zulfiqar Sheikh, would sit in front of his students and say, if you didn't gain from my silence, you're never going to gain from my words. Because it's not about the words. It's so much more about the heart reverberating an effect on people and spreading that. And that's why you see that despite the fact that people don't know the Arabic language, they're clamoring to go to Hajj and Umrah. And people don't have even seen a picture of the Kaaba, they're clamoring to go on Hajj and Umrah. And this is all founded upon the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which was essentially built upon the sincerity of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and the sincerity of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. And because of them, all of this is perpetuated. Now there's a whole nother derivative of this, which I won't talk about today, but I'll talk about this next week. If somebody can just remind me that I have to talk about the second derivative of this. But what I want to remind us is that we have a responsibility. You know, our power lies in our ability to guide others to what's best, right? And we want our children to be guided to what's best, and we want that what we say to our children perpetuate so that they tell their children and they tell their children. We want the message to stay in our family. We want the message to spread amongst our loved ones, our cousins and our aunts and our uncles. We want the message to spread amongst our neighbors, amongst our spouses and their families. But the way by which that occurs is by developing a very deep connection with Allah. If we develop a deep connection with Allah, there will be power in our words and we will be able to change geography. You know, like they say, the Sahaba changed geography. And if our words are empty, we can be as eloquent as we want. We can have the most amazing mechanisms of communication, such as email, fax, internet, etc. But it won't change anybody. It won't even change us as we write the email. Ajib, that in this day and age, the person who's talking doesn't even get changed. You know, forget about the audience. At least the person who's speaking should be changed by the words. Even the person who's speaking isn't changed by the words in this day and age so often. So we live in a very difficult time and place, but we have to connect back to Allah. If we connect back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's a huge effect. And just, I mean, it just shocks me that it's so easy to convince people to go for Hajj and, you know, to go for Umrah. People are already at the tipping point. You just have to mention it and their mouth waters, right? Because of this, because it's all founded upon this call of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those whose words perpetuate through time and space, and may He make us among those who receive the benefit of others acting upon His deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.